Folks, welcome to our Citizens and Police Protection and Community Service District meeting for Thursday, May 13th. As you all know, all proceedings of this meeting will be tape recorded. Let's do a roll call. Director Postle? Director Wright is not here yet. We'll hold out the roll. Yes. Director Toons is here. Is here. Director Stein is here. Okay. And Director Wright is here. That's a yes answer?
Yes.
Okay. Now is the time for public comments, and we're going to limit them to 20 minutes total, 5 minutes per individual. Would anybody like to step to the... If you don't mind, let's wait until we have all the officers get their seat, and then we'll go from there. Okay. We were just going to start the public comment. I saw my hand here. Would you like to come up? And you have to, our tradition is to come up to the podium to say your name and start the discussion.
Thank you, Director Toon. My name is Tony Lloyd, and I am a 33-year resident of Kensington, homeowner. I'm also the moderator or lay leader of the Arlington Community Church, across the street, and a member of the KCC. And I'm here on behalf of the KCC this evening to read into the record the status of the remodeling project and also to add some comments about the proposed lease negotiations.
Okay. Just before you get started, Tony, traditionally a public comment is reserved for things that are not on the agenda, and luckily for you, neither of those are on the agenda.
Yes.
Okay. So please go ahead.
Thank you very much. First, I would like to address the KCC project update for the board of those in attendance. The Contra Costa Planning Commission approved the community center remodel plans on Monday, May 3rd. The health and safety permit application was submitted on Wednesday, May 12th. The building permit application will be submitted early this coming week. There have been three bids that have been received and reviewed last week that resulted from the response for bid process. A finalist has been identified, and we're in the final negotiations with the contractor. We continue to adhere to our original timeline and are preparing to start the remodel in early June. Funding is in place, including monies to address the drainage problem at the back of the community center. And KCC has been waiting also since April 7th for a proposed lease on the facilities to be forwarded to us for review. That ends our comments on the update for the remodeling project. I would move now to some comments that we would like entered into the record with regard to the lease arrangement.
Actually, I'm going to ask you not to make the comments on the lease amendment. You'll get a copy of the lease proposed by our attorneys in the next 2 days or so. Since that's coming up, I'd rather not have those comments on the lease fit into the record, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we accept that. That's fine.
Good. Okay.
All right, that's all I have for today.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Next batter up. Please, come on up.
I don't know what's on the agenda, so I don't know if I can comment on
it. I can give you a quick copy, or you can stand up here and take your chances. Do you feel lucky?
I want to ask some questions about Measure G.
That's actually not on the agenda. But you have to come up here in any event and come up and ask the questions and we'll see if we can answer them.
Questions to ask about it.
Please state your name.
All right. My name's Ann Dell. I've been a resident of Kensington since the middle of '60s and a homeowner since the beginning of 1974. So the two main issues on the arguments in favor of Measure G that I don't think are valid, and I'd like to have the board to discuss those or give me some input.
Actually, then that starts to get to the realm of a political discussion we can't have. We aren't allowed to discuss the politics of Measure G at the board meeting. We can't take the time of the public to do that.
All right.
That's a political question.
Can you tell me if the district expenses have increased with, in the lines with inflation?
I can't answer questions. I just gave you the answer on the platter.
You seem like that's not a political question. I'm asking you about the board.
What's the question again?
Have the district expenses increased in the line of inflation over, say, the last 16 years?
And what's your second question?
Have property tax revenues given cause to a rise in a projected budget deficit?
Okay. Director Wright, you're the chief of the budget committee. Would you like to address the first question?
I don't have off the top of my head the facts and figures about the last 16 years of expenses, so I can't answer that question directly. But we can look into it. We can direct staff to look at it.
Yeah, how can I find out past budgets?
Yeah, all budgets are, what you're actually looking for are the financial statements, because the budget is just a projection of where we're going to do.
Right.
So the financial statements, they're all publicly available. And
go to the library and look them up?
I don't know if they're in the library, but you can ask the general manager to produce them, and we should be able to get our hands on them, and you can directly ask them to provide you the financial statements. It's all public information.
Bill, I think I can maybe shed a little bit of light. I cannot answer your question specifically to the percentage, but I can tell you in general an approximation that is very, very close. Very close is that if the $300 property tax assessment for police services, if that had been allowed to inflate at the consumer price index for the Bay Area from 1994, in very approximate terms, but very close. It would approximate the $200 tax assessment increase that is being asked for in Measure G. Not to the penny,
yeah.
I just don't have it, but and that's public information. I have it at home, and it's very, very, very close. But the original assessment, $300, at that moment in time, you were not allowed to put in an inflationary clause.
I understand that.
Yeah. So to answer your question, it's very much in line with the cost of living increases
that
in the Bay Area.
That new assessment is in line.
Very much in line.
I won't argue with you a lot on that. I come up with a number that it would be $450 in today's terms. But we won't go over that.
Well, we have to go over that. Well, actually, what John's understating it a little bit, because if you had a CPI increase, the amount of tax that the district would be getting or you'd be paying would have been a lot more over time.
It's compounded. I understand that.
Well, yeah. So like in 1996 and 1997, 1998, we've been paying more, but nobody was.
Right.
So that's not even taking.
Right.
You want to go into it. But you're talking about the expenses, I think.
I'm talking about the expenses. The way that
the
I have, since I don't know what the district's budget was in, say, 1994, all right, for many reasons, I have trouble in determining has the expenses been in line with inflation. And the way I see it is that since 1994, the district's revenues, which are property taxes plus the $300 mm-hmm. parcel rate, has actually gone up 3.8% per year. Inflation during that period of time, based on the consumer price index, has been 2.4%. So to me, they're not exactly the same numbers. They're not close. So that's one of the things that I wanted to address. And then the other thing is that property taxes that part that's based on the value of the property, not the parcel rate. It's actually gone up 7.5% per year compound. So I guess the question, general question I want to answer is, if you have it, will you spend it? Or more importantly, will you spend it wisely?
Thank you.
That's a good question.
Hi, Renee.
And
the ELK.
May I respond
to that?
Sure, Pat, why don't you go ahead and take it?
Well, because that issue came up at the KPOA meeting too, all of us were elected by you guys. So will we spend it wisely? We will determine whether we spend it wisely or not based on who you elect and what our platforms are. And that's going to be very important. So it's in your hands, folks. You elect us. And we're here to do your bidding.
And Director Wright had a comment, I think.
I think one of the things to think about is this the past, and there was inflation, and we're trying to make up for that. But what we're really trying to do is take a look at what our current revenues are versus what our current expenses are. And it's very, very simple. We have a gap, and we can solve the gap one of two ways. We can cut, that's one way to solve it, or we can raise the revenue, and the voters can decide which path we want to take. And that's all we're doing as a board, is we vote to put it on so the voters can take that decision. And it's the past is the past, but we're going to talk about where we're at right now and how to bridge that gap between what we take in and what we spend so that we don't get into a problem down the road.
I think you're on to something.
The question that you should be asking is, are we paying salaries and benefits that are comparable to similar cities? We are not. We're way above. Shut me down, Chuck.
If you don't mind, I'm going to stop this discussion because we're going to...
You're going to stop it the same way you didn't let me speak at the KIC meeting.
I am going to stop the discussion right now. This is not a political debate.
This is an outrage.
I am sorry, Director Kozel, but I'm stopping it. When you're president, you control the meeting the way you wish. I am going to stop the discussion if you don't mind.
It's an outrage.
Fine, be outraged. We're stopping the discussion.
I am outraged.
Fine.
That did not address any issue that I raised, so I agree that's an inappropriate response for you to make. But I would just like to say that Property 13 had built in a 1.3% property tax increase per year, which has been augmented by sales of homes that have been cranked up quite a bit. And yet, it appears to me that the board's budget has gone up an average of 3.8% a year.
Thank you very much. I would like to move on. Is there any more public comment?
Hi, my name is Eric Stigman. I'm the president of the Kensington Police Officers Association. Before I get going on what I came here to talk to you guys tonight about, I wanted to address the letter that most of you probably got in your mail. We addressed some bad information that I felt you got, and I wanted to give you exact information on something that we were slightly off on, and that is the claim that we had a 29% raise over the last 5 years is completely inaccurate. We gave it out as 19%, but one mistake we did make was we didn't compound that rate, those raises, for 5 years, and what it actually comes out to is 20.46% for those 5 years. So that's the raises we got. It's not hidden in mystery. It's in our MOU. You can add it up, do the math if you'd like. It's there. Just so everyone understands, the goal of our letter was simply to point out errors in the rebuttal argument in favor of Measure G, because we were shocked about some of the inaccuracies that we read in that. But I believe most are already familiar with that letter, so I'm going to move on. I'm here tonight to point out a truth that I fear may be conveniently being ignored by some people out in the community. That truth is that the current level of annual revenue collected by the district is not going to sustain Kensington PD at the level of service we have for much longer. We have passed a deficit budget for 3 years in a row now as a district, but it has been Chief Harmon's prudent and frugal spending that has kept us in the black at the end of the fiscal year each year. He has accomplished this by allowing as little overtime as possible and delaying the buying of new equipment such as vehicles and using grants to supplement the budget, along with many other things. It's predicted that when the 2008-2009 fiscal year audit is completed, we will find that the expenditures exceed revenues for the first time. It is likely the 2009-2010 fiscal year will have a similar but more exacerbated result. Because Chief Harmon and the KPD have financially been financially responsible, we're facing this problem now instead of 3 or 4 years ago. To those who have been watching, the need for a new tax was recognized as an eventuality several years ago. In fact, I personally had a conversation with a certain interim chief about 3.5 years ago, who was the interim chief at the time, and we had this same discussion. He knew it was coming then, we knew it was coming now. If Measure G does not pass, KPE will still be here to serve you regardless. However, most of our contingency plans, if Measure G fails, call for major budget cuts. Police work is a business which a significant portion of the budget is salary and benefits for the police officers. That's our major asset. This is because when you call the police, you want a well-trained, experienced, friendly, and confident police officer to assist you, and you want them there now. If Measure G is not passed, the only place cuts can be made which will have the desired effect of balancing the budget is in staffing. For instance, it costs the district approximately $117,000 in wages and benefits to employ a third step officer for 1 year.
A second. I've got 20 seconds left, and then your time is up there. We have to
move much longer than I have, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, 20 seconds. Please hurry up.
Okay. Some people reference Brown Taylor's report citing that Kensington police officers have 70% downtime. However, this number fails to take into account several crucial factors. There's something not widely known is the police department has a plethora of collateral duties and or administrative duties that must be tended to as a result of all KPD officers.
Eric, I'm going to have
that. Okay. In conclusion, I just wanted to say that staffing will be cut and your services will be impacted if the measure does not pass. Thank you.
If you do not accept fair rules.
This isn't a debate, folks. This is probably
a comment. Well, then why are you allowing all those signs? It's not a debate. You're right.
It's not a debate.
You're only listening to one
comment.
Side, Jeff.
It's probably comment. People can come up here and say they want. I'm sorry. I'm not going to debate with you about it. Nikki, you were next. And then we're going to be off in about 4 minutes. So please hurry up.
Nikki Kaiser, 6 Windsor Avenue. I'd like to speak to a couple different issues, none of which are directly on the agenda tonight in the public comment section. One is a question about the role of public versus private role of the elected officials on the board and how we can have a private individual type debate for the property meeting that we just had. I found that format very unusual and surprising, and I'd like some comments on that after I'm done speaking. I feel that the board has voted on the issue. It should be settled on the board level. If the public wants to debate the issue, then that's the public's right to do, but it seems the board should put forward a complete fix. Second question is, at what point the Windsor Avenue residents were going to be invited to a KMAC meeting regarding the public restroom? We were not given any notice about it. I only found out the KMAC meeting already took place because of going through past documents with this board. No one on our street got notice of that meeting, and if we somehow just sneeze, we have to go before KMAC, and we feel like we should have gotten notice, and we want to know when that's going to happen. Secondly, speaking with one of my neighbors in discussing the county approval of that project, several of them wanted to write letters and have me take them up to the county for that meeting, and one of them came back to me after saying they were going to write a letter and said that Bill Wright, a good friend of theirs, told them that he was very surprised that there was anything further that needed to be done. He thought the whole matter was a closed issue, that there was no point in them writing a letter going to the meeting. And they have since decided that they weren't going to write a letter because they were concerned that, A, it was pointless as they had been advised by an elected official from this board, and that being Mr. Wright, and that they were concerned that it might impact their own ability to go before KMAC for future renovation work, which I find uncomfortable, shall we say. I'm very much in favor of another topic. I'm very much in favor of Proposition G, and someone around town has a Proposition G sign for the front yard. Let me know where we can get those. And I also like to thank you. That's exactly what I was going to suggest making. Thank you. Perfect.
I want to stop the discussion about Measure G. We can't engage in a debate tonight. So I want to thank you all for your opinions. You're entitled to them. Not in here, though. So let's just move on.
Can I get answers to those other questions?
Not tonight. Not right now.
Those weren't Measure G questions.
I know, but KMAC is not our purview. We don't know how KMAC...
It's your project.
But KMAC, we don't control the notice of their meetings.
I, as a resident, put an addition up, I have to go to KMAC. It is my responsibility to make sure that my neighbors within 300 feet of my residence boundaries are notified. It is your project, so it's your responsibility.
I'm going to move on to the meeting, if you don't mind.
I'd also like to comment from Director Wright.
I really want to move on to the meeting. Thank you. Okay?
So the board member is not going to answer that question.
I'm not going to allow him to answer it because I'd like to move on to the meeting. So thank you. If you want to engage with him after the meeting,
it
that's
seems
fine.
Like it's best done publicly.
Pardon me?
So this seems like it's best
fine.
Done publicly.
Thank you. We aren't going to do it now, though.
I'd be happy to answer your question after the meeting.
Now, if there's no more public comment, we're frankly out of time for it. Now we have board member comments, and I'll let Director Kozel start off.
The police car is running. There's nobody in it. It has to overtime because of the years. Oh, okay. First of all, I would like to compliment Chief Hull on the high level of productivity that I've seen in the last couple of weeks. Appears to me to be a good job. I would like to suggest to this board a number of things. First of all, that we freeze promotions until after the election to see if there's any revenue to support any promotions. Secondly, that we put on the agenda for our next meeting the division of the general manager, chief of police. I think that the job of chief of police is just too important and it needs a 100% time person. And it really wouldn't cost us that much more to have someone part-time manage the district. Last Thursday evening, I attended the Contra Costa Mayor's Conference, and all 18 cities in Contra Costa County are negotiating salary freezes and cutbacks and benefit cutbacks, increases in co-pays. It's something that we should be doing as well, particularly in the employee share of medical and retirement. Let's see. My other question, Chuck, I had asked you before, and we got kind of an answer, but on the workers' comp situation with Chief Harmon, I would like that referred to Pat Miyake, because I think Daly City should be paying all of that, and as a matter of fact, I know that for sure. So we could spend an hour of Pat Miyake's time and save maybe $20,000, and I think that's a wise thing to do. I think that's it for now.
Okay, great. Director Wright, I have no comments. Director McLaughlin.
Just briefly, I don't know how many of you get Joya's weekly newsletter, but one thing I think may be of interest to the community is Saturday, May 24th, there is going to be a meeting at the Arlington Clubhouse regarding fire hazard on the boundary line between up in the hills with Tilton Park. This is a series of conferences organized with the Contra Costa County Fire Department, Richmond, and El Cerrito Fire Departments. So for those of you who are interested, particularly who live along Grizzly, you might want to pay attention. Monday, May 24th, 6:30 p.m. at the Arlington Clubhouse.
Director Stein, any comments?
If I can, I just want to bring everybody up to date on two ad hoc committees that I'm a part of. The first one is the Joint Emergency Committee. It's an ad hoc committee between the Kensington Fire District and this district. We had our first meeting in April. Two members from each board are on that committee, including myself and Chuck from this group. Our plans, well, our plan for the first meeting was simply to get organized. We plan to meet quarterly. At the next meeting, we've asked both the general manager for the service district and the fire chief to present to the ad hoc committee an executive summary of the El Cerrito-Kensington Emergency Manual Plan with a focus on Kensington and a particular focus on a major earthquake or a major fire. And then future meetings we'll discuss once we have an understanding of what we're supposed to do, better than we currently do, about how to communicate that to the community, and we will keep you informed. The second ad hoc committee, I think this is the name of it, it's close, the Kensington Park Building Ad Hoc Committee. We met in early May, a group that was appointed by President Toombs. Again, it was an organizational meeting. Our plan is to have a total of three meetings before we report back to this board on our findings. The scope of this particular ad hoc committee are the three buildings that belong to the service district, Building E, the annex, and this building. Our goal is to be able to come up with an overall, for lack of a better expression, needs assessment plan, not the plan itself, but just an approach to coming up with a plan to really look at all of these assets within a short period of time, but from A to Z, with what we really should be doing with them. To the best of my knowledge, we've never really had a plan for these buildings, and they're very, very valuable to the community, and they're a very, very valuable piece of asset just in terms of dollars and cents. So we will report back to this committee. I'm not sure if there's a meeting in August or if the August meeting is a recess meeting or we have a meeting in September, but we will be ready in August to report back. So it'll either be in August or September, the first meeting after July. We'll be ready to report back.
We'll stay tuned.
I'm trying to follow up. John Singh, if I could ask you, Chief Holda, it was quite a public safety issue when the 1,500 phone lines were knocked out. Mm-hmm. Can you describe what sort of a response you were able to make, and in an ideal world, what you would hope your response could be?
Well, for the phone lines themselves, we don't have any control over that. That's all totally AT&T. Right. However, we didn't have any idea how long it was going to take for the phone lines to come back up, and someone suggested after a while that we make contact with some of the senior citizens. Mm-hmm. Well, what we ended up doing was limiting that to the senior citizens that we knew may have had health issues. We got a couple of officers together, and we went out based upon their knowledge, their patrolling the district, who they knew of, and a couple of people that I suggested that I knew of. And by coincidence, when we decided to go do that, they went and checked with the AT&T because they were out working on the phone box, and they said that the phones were back up at that time.
We're 3.5 days.
Yes.
And actually, Director Kozel had the idea to have this come down. That was a really good idea.
Yeah, well, another thing that we might want to follow up on is, I don't know if they intend to underground that bank of phone lines, but it does present a significant public safety hazard, I believe, if when all those phone lines are down and people are not able to dial 911. But if they are going to underground it, could you possibly suggest to them that they put significant barriers in front of that so the next truck bearing down armed and doesn't do it again?
Sure.
Okay. And then I had one other brief follow-up that I forgot about. On the front page of the Outlook, the most recent one, says the KPPCSD board as a whole, and police chief and KPPCSD general manager Herman are in agreement that if Measure G does not pass in June, some patrol shifts will be eliminated. Joel, I think you know by now that I believe that is very far from the truth, so if it's possible, I would like a correction put in because the board as a whole does not feel that.
I was speaking about the board as a whole.
So, I am a board member, so yes, the board
while
as
you,
a whole
while you
does not feel that.
Well, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. And I'm happy to print something, anything you'd like to include. And I'm sorry if you didn't feel represented correctly.
Thank you.
It is time for staff comments. Chief Hall, do you have any comments? We're coming up to the agenda, so those can wait. But
yeah, no, I don't have any comments other than...
Stephanie, do you have any comments?
I don't have to say. Oh, I need your signature.
That can wait.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay. Since there's no other staff comments, let's move on with approval of the consent calendar. These are non-controversial items where we typically review past month's correspondences, budgets, and such, and have the opportunity to pull things members of the board may disagree with. Would anybody like to pull anything off the consent calendar?
Profit loss.
And that would be, okay, item C. Anybody want to pull anything else? Okay, let's focus on item C, profit and loss.
Okay, I bring that up because of past discussions about that particular report. John Walter made some pertinent comments last meeting about it, and I just want to re-emphasize. These numbers are in fact accurate as of the date that they are published. There is no problem with the accuracy of the numbers as of the date. The problem is that things get changed. We're talking about an accrual system, and just as a really big example of what can happen is that a check for $20,000 came in designated as COPS money, and it was put into this current year's budget. Well, I mean, the people who got the money put it in current funds, and in fact, it was money that was accrued for the prior year, and that had to be changed. That's just the kind of thing that happens. It's not a mistake. It's not stupid. It's what happens. So, I spent a lot of time going over whether there was any possibility of producing any kind of report that represents the changes from last month to this month. It's an awkward and it's not a simple problem to solve. The only solution there is to print a current version of last month's report if people are really that upset about the fact that the totals don't for this month, for last month's totals don't agree with the last month's report. I bring it up only if the board wants to take on making any change in terms of producing any other reports that would show the differences between the 2 months, the ending balance of the months.
So that's a no action item then?
That's right.
Okay. With that in mind, we can put the item back in the consent calendar and move to approval of the entire consent calendar. Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I'll move to approve.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, moving on. There is no old business. We're going to go to new business item one. Acting Police Chief Ricky Ho will swear in Kensington Police Officer Kevin Wheat.
Okay.
I, Kevin Huey.
I, Kevin Huey.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will.
And that I will.
Well and faithfully.
Well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Upon which I am about to enter.
As a police officer for the District of Kensington.
As a police officer for the District of Kensington.
Just one quick word about Officer Huey. He is a prior Kensington resident. I don't know if some of you that have been around for a while, he actually attended Windrush Elementary School. Was before my time. And he has since moved out, and now he's back. So I would first like to welcome you back to the district.
Thank you.
And welcome you into the Kensington Police Department.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Comment. First of all, I had the opportunity to speak with Officer Huey, and I found him to be very impressive. Happy to have him here. I did want to ask Chief Holt exactly where the funding for this position comes from.
The funding for this position came out of the COPS grant, which is the grant that Chief Harmon secured from the state.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little bit off the subject, but one other comment about Officer Huey. He is a product of Chief Harmon's idea that he implemented in order to get new police officers into the Kensington Police Department. He started, he increased the number of reserves that we had, so it gave members of the police department a chance to look at how these officers would interact with Kensington and how they could fit into the dynamics of a small department. And Officer Huey was the choice.
Okay, just to follow up now, the COPS grant is $100,000.
It is.
Salary and benefits for a new officer are approximately $144,000. So where's the other $44,000 come from?
Well,
17.
Excuse me. It's less than $144,000. A third step officer, as everyone well knows, has already been made public, came out to $117,000. So that would be two steps above a starting officer.
All the benefits?
Yes, it would be less than 117. The exact number I don't have for you.
Okay.
But it would be approximately.
If you had exact numbers, it would be great. Because we do have to do some budget.
Okay, no problem. I'd be more than happy to get that to you.
And then my other comment, and I made it the last time, I'm still looking for a woman on this force. I think that's a significant deficit that we have. And if you ever arrest a woman, God help us when she needs a pat down or whatever, we're in trouble.
Folks, let's move on. Before you all bail out, we'd like Officer Huey to introduce his family to us.
My wife, Harley. My brother-in-law, John.
Hi.
My sister's outside with her.
With the baby.
My mom, Lucia. Hi. My dad, Marvin.
You were a Kensington resident for 20 years. I was a Pascal assistant master.
Thank you all. New business number two. Wait for our crowd to settle down a bit. New business number two, acting police chief Ricky Hall will award accommodation to Detective Keith Farrell for his investigation and arrest of a hit-and-run suspect, KPD number 2010-1457.
On Saturday, April 10th, 2010, at 06:11 hours, a hit-and-run accident occurred at Arlington Avenue and Norwood Avenue, KPD case 2010-1457. Detective Burrow, while planning on attending a community meeting, you learned of the accident and began your investigation to identify the suspect responsible. After locating evidence in the suspect vehicle that identified a possible individual responsible, you were able to track the responsible suspect to the city of Panola. While conducting a surveillance of the possible suspect's residence, you spotted the suspect walking on the street near his residence. You took the suspect into custody, and during your interrogation of the individual, he admitted to being responsible for the accident. The arrest of this suspect of the hit-and-run accident was the result of your excellent investigative skills, your dedication to service. You are to be commended for your dedication, professionalism, and actions you took that led to the successful closure of this case. Thank you very much.
And just to confirm to the community, it was Detective Farrell who arrested the guy who took out the phone lines.
All right.
Just a little side comment. He was here to attend the meeting. He stopped on the side of the road, saw what we were doing, got the piece of evidence, and went from there. I think it was approximately two and a half hours later, while I was in the meeting, I heard him go on the radio at 10:15, which is a police call for making an arrest.
Why wasn't
that accident mentioned in the Outlook?
Hello?
I beg your pardon?
Why wasn't that a picture of the accident in the Outlook?
I think we're going to move on, but thank you for the comment. That's an editorial decision for the Outlook. We don't run the Outlook. KCC does, and their editor, so we don't tell them what to publish. Let's move on to item number three. Acting General Manager Ricky Hall will present the board with the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District Traffic Safety Evaluation prepared by the University of California Institute of Transportation Studies Technology Transfer Program for review, discussion, and possible action. General Manager Hall, please.
University of California, Berkeley Institute of Transportation Studies Technology Transfer Program has completed the traffic safety evaluation for Kensington. In April, Chief Harmon received the final draft of the report, which is part of this agenda packet. The conclusion of the study and suggested enforcement measures begin on page 18 of the report, with a final recommendation for improving enforcement safety appearing on page 23. In summary, a citation is the most effective tool to influence and change a driver's behavior, leading to a raised level of compliance with traffic laws. A zero-tolerance policy is more of a positive spin on preventing serious traffic collisions. The goal would be to inform and gain agreement of law enforcement officers, governmental and judicial representatives, community representatives, and have media support for the program. This is outlined on page 23 also. A zero-tolerance policy for red light signal and pedestrian crosswalk violations could be implemented for the intersection of Arlington Avenue and Kensington Park Road after approval by the Community Services District Board. A public information campaign could also alert the citizens of the community to the potential serious injury collisions that occur at the intersection of Arlington Avenue and Kensington Park Road due to the failure to stop at the red light. Chief Harmon believes the board has already moved to make the community safer on the roadways by hiring our 10th officer position with our COPS grant revenue and by supporting him in assigning the 10th officer position to primary traffic enforcement duties. Chief Harmon requests that the board also support the recommendations of the traffic study in directing the Kensington Police Department to take a zero-tolerance approach to traffic enforcement in the community and support media public relations campaign addressing traffic safety in the community and our zero-tolerance approach to traffic enforcement. The chief would like to begin the campaign by placing the report on our website and suggesting to the editor of the Outlook a possible story regarding our traffic survey and our efforts to improve traffic safety in the community.
Okay. The report's got a lot of meat on it. The best part, of course, is to increase patrolling and enforcement to a zero-tolerance policy, which I think
we can all agree is a good idea, unless it happens to be us who gets the ticket. There are some other recommendations I had questions about. Some of them have to do with the actual physical layout of the chief intersection we have in town, and the recommendation about some technological shifts and what's there. Is it the goal of this to make a recommendation that we adopt those shifts in the lighting system? That's one question I have. And does this really still impact the S-curve coming into that intersection in a way that is beneficial to all? Clearly, enforcement will, but will the stoplights recommendation have a beneficial impact on that particular S-curve?
I don't think that this report addresses that, but I would say that it will not, because it's only addressing the interaction of pedestrians and traffic at that specific area.
At the intersection.
At the intersection, yes. I think there are some other recommendations that are currently being discussed right now to deal with the issues at the S-curve.
Okay. I'll turn it open to the board discussion. Director McLaughlin.
Well, I'll have to tell you, I only read the pages 18 to 23. I really didn't go through the beginning of it. I find it very confusing that for instance, from a standpoint of the California state codes, that having a stop sign in the same intersection with a stop light is illegal. I don't understand that. The report comments that there seems to be no difficulty with that it doesn't appear to be a hazardous arrangement, but that it is, in fact, against code to have that. So I'm just going to say I don't understand that. I read through the various recommendations, except for the expensive three red-green light. They all seem stupid to me, and except for the implementation of the enhanced traffic law enforcement. And my reading of this report was that in the end, the enhanced or the zero tolerance policy was essentially the strongest recommendation this report wanted to make. And I feel that that's where we stand and that that's what we should do. And I think we have no reason to look at any of these other options.
Okay. Director Stein.
I think that my sentiment is the same as Pat's, with one addition, and that is, and I don't know if we have to have an agenda item at every board meeting, but I would like for the police department to come back to the board on somewhat of a routine basis, maybe like on a quarterly basis, with how we're doing, what we have discovered, what the next steps might be. So I'm totally in favor of bringing somebody on zero tolerance policy, but then as that person, or if it gets disseminated amongst all the officers, to focus a little bit on traffic on a part-time basis, just to come back to us a couple of times a year and let us know, is it better, is it worse, do you have more ideas? I think that would be very helpful.
I agree.
If there's no more board comments, we can open it up for public comments. Would anybody in the public care comment? Nikki, please.
I want clarification on what a zero tolerance policy means. Does this mean at the intersection? Does this mean no more warnings sort of thing throughout the entire town? I think the discretion of the officer is a very valuable thing, and a warning can often be absolutely as effective as a written citation. May not make the same revenue, but it certainly has an impact. I can remember very clearly the one and only time I ever pulled over the fence, and I'm still a shit. It was a warning, and I was very grateful for that, and I paid more attention. So I'd like a little clarification on what that is, because in my experience with other things, not related to traffic, generally zero tolerance policies that take away any discretion that law enforcement are do almost as much harm as good in some ways. We've had great traffic control in town.
Let me just answer your first question. The recommendation of this report actually is that the warnings are not effective as a deterrent to stopping traffic.
violations. They claim the people you don't get. And that's what the report says. I'm not a police officer, I'm not a traffic engineer. But their spin on it is that giving someone a warning is nowhere near as effective to correct behavior as giving them a ticket the first time out.
Okay, and it's going to apply throughout town?
I'm not a police chief, I don't know. But I think the notion here is it will clearly apply at this intersection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would hope that it would apply everywhere else, too. We have a long strip of a mile and a half through town that's kind of like a freeway in the morning at night.
Yes.
And it's rather high risk for anybody. So I would not object if it applied throughout the town. You can throw in parking lot system, too. I like that.
Yeah, it's more red tape than a circle in Windsor.
We'll work on that.
There you go. Actually, just one more quick on that while we're at it, and this probably goes back for, you know, to previous leadership of the department, but being a bird watcher and stargazer, I'm often up at the park that overlooks the Arlington at very odd late hours of the night, and I've got to say, one thing that does concern me a bit is that the patrol cars coming up and down in Arlington are going considerably more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit when they're running up and down in Arlington. That might seem to kind of give up. Unless you get the lights on, guys, you know, keep it down a little bit. It's still okay. Dangerous. We get deer and people out of it, too.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this? I guess we're being asked to adopt the report or to accept the report and its chief recommendation about a zero tolerance policy.
That's correct.
Okay.
So I move that we accept the report.
And it's zero tolerance.
And its recommendation on zero tolerance.
And how do we want to deal with these other mechanical issues about the format of the intersection?
I didn't okay, include those.
Your resolution didn't include
that. That's right. Okay, fair absolutely.
Is there a second on that resolution, on that motion?
Yeah, I would second that.
Okay. And we can open it up for a little bit more board discussion before we vote on it. If there's no more board discussion, let's call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. Drive safety in this time. excuse me. New business item number 4. Acting General Manager Ricky Holt will present the board with resolution 2010-6, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District confirming the assessment and ordering the levy for the Kensington Park Assessment District for fiscal year 2010-2011 for discussion and board action. Just by way of background, this was duly noticed in the Outlook as a public hearing on this resolution. So General Manager Holt, please take the stage.
At the April 8th regular meeting of the KPPCSD board, the board passed resolution 2010-3, resolution of initiation, resolution 2010-4, resolution approving the engineer's report, and resolution 2010-5, resolution of intention, beginning the process of ordering the levy and the assessment for the Kensington Park Assessment District. Following the passage of the resolutions, the notice of public hearing set for May 13th, 2010 on the ordering of the levy was published in the West County Times and the Outlook no less than 10 days prior to the May 13th meeting as required. Following the public meeting on the levy and collection of the assessment, the board is asked to pass resolution 2010-6, confirming the assessment as described in the annual engineer's report, levying the assessment for the fiscal year 2010-2011, and ordering NBS to prepare and submit the levy of assessments to Contra Costa County for placement on the fiscal year 2010-2011 secured property tax roll. Chief Harmon requests that the board pass resolution 2010-6.
And just by way of background, this is part of our annual renewal of the landscape and lighting assessment for the park, that $30,000 piece of the property tax bill you all see for supporting our park. It is what I would think to be a fairly ministerial act. Let's open it up for board discussion, though. Director Kozel?
I have no comment.
Director Rye? No? I've given my comment.
Well, I have 2 comments. First of all, on the back, I'm no longer vice president. Don Stein is vice president, so that should be corrected on the resolution. The other thing I have to say is the the amount of the tax is $13 a person. It's not $30,000.
$30,000, well, in the
In the aggregate.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to make that clear.
Do we know this?
Per parcel.
Director Stein, would you like to add anything to the discussion?
No comments.
So let's open it up to the public to share their thoughts with us. Do we have a comment on this from the public? Okay. Is there a motion to pass resolution 2010-6, which is on page 71 of our board packages, with a change reflecting Director Stein as vice president?
I move that we approve it.
Okay.
That's correct.
I second motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Stick around after the meeting close. We're all going to have to sign this piece tonight, okay? New business item number 5. Acting General Manager Ricky Lowe will present the board with resolution 2010-8, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District to the Contra Costa County Election Department, requesting and consenting the consolidation of election to be held in the district, setting forth the election order, requesting the Board of Supervisors allow the Registrar of Voters to render services, and specifying who will be paying the cost of the candidate statements and limiting the number of words of the statements for discussion and board action. General Manager Holt, please go ahead.
On April 30th, the district received notice from the Contra Costa County Elections Department that the district has 3 seats up for November 2nd, 2010 election. Those currently held by Director Patricia McLaughlin, Director John Stein, and Director Bill Wright. The first part of the process is the confirmation of current incumbents, completion of the elected officials and terms of office documents, candidate statement information, qualification confirmation, and the district boundaries, all to be completed by staff. The final part of this process is the passing of Resolution 2010-8, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District to the Contra Costa County Election Department, requesting and consenting to the consolidation of the election to be held in the district, setting forth the election order, requesting the Board of Supervisors allow the Registrar of Voters to render services, and specifying who will be paying the costs of the candidate's statements, and limiting the number of words of the statements, limiting them to 200 to 300 words. The documentation required and the resolution calling for the election is due at the county no later than June 30th, 2010. Chief Harmon is requesting that the board pass resolution 2010-8.
Okay. And clearly this is to put in motion the election for 3 board members coming in November of this year. Board discussion on this? Director Kozel?
I have no.
Director
SOP?
Director Wright? I have no comments. Director McLaughlin?
No.
Director Stein?
I have one question. Is the June 30th date a due date for the district or for the district and the candidates?
I don't want to answer that because I don't want to give you any wrong information. However, I will forward the correct answer to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to be sure, though, that this does limit the candidate statement to 300 words, clearly.
Thankfully.
Oh, come on. Knowledge is a wonderful thing. Okay. Anybody considering running for the election, you can call up the Contra Costa County Elections Department. They're extremely helpful. They will give you a timetable of events, all the necessary registration materials you would want, and all the background information on running an election campaign and the Fair Political Practice Commission, FPPC, I believe it is. Public comment on this? Would anybody like to comment to the public on this? Okay, do I have a motion to approve resolution 2010-8?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Resolution passes. Thank you. New business item number 6. Acting General Manager Ricky Hull will present the board with resolution
2010-9, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District confirming with CalPERS that all contributions made to CalPERS, although designated as employee contributions, are being paid by the district in lieu of contributions by the employees who are members of CalPERS for discussion and board action. General Manager Holt, please.
On April 14th, the district received a letter from CalPERS requesting that we prepare and pass an employer pickup resolution. A copy of the letter is attached to this memo for review. Chief Harmon contacted CalPERS and learned that the district does not have a resolution on file indicating that the district does pick up and pay the employees 9% CalPERS contribution and has done so since May 25th, 1982. Resolution 2010-9 confirms with CalPERS that all contributions made to CalPERS, although designated as employee contributions, are being paid by the district in lieu of contributions by the employees who are members of CalPERS as required by Revenue Ruling 2006-43. Once again, this is not a new benefit or any type of enhancement to our current MOU with the Kensington Police Officers Association. It is only notifying CalPERS that the district has been paying the employee contribution and has been doing so since May 25th, 1982. Chief Harmon is requesting that the board pass Resolution 2010-9.
Okay, thank you. One question I had for the chief was to make sure that this didn't bind us into any kind of precedent that we couldn't undo should negotiations down the road with the KPOA suggest a change in this protocol, and he assured me it does not. It simply confirms what we've done historically up to the date of passing of the resolution, and we're free to change this as our business needs of the district change. That's my comment. Director Puzzle?
That was my most important question. Chuck, thank you for checking on it. One question for you, Chief Holt. Currently, all of our employees, for instance, Stephanie and everyone else, under CalPERS, are we paying the employee contribution for all of them?
No, just sworn officers.
Just sworn officers. So, are we doing the right thing then? I'm looking at this circular letter from CalPERS. Mm-hmm. It says employers who only pick up employee contributions for all of the employees in certain groups or classes should specify so in their resolution. Is that specified in the resolution?
Well, it's not specified in this resolution, but not every employee is allowed to even be part of CalPERS.
I understand that, so...
But I do appreciate your recognizing that. That is not specified in Resolution 2010-9.
Actually, if you look at Paragraph 2, it does reflect... Paragraph 1 and 2 do reflect this only applies to contributions made on behalf of employees who are members of the California Public Employee Retirement System. Paragraphs 1 and 2.
I understand that, Chuck, but I don't understand this letter. I'm not arguing with you. I've just been saying that I still don't understand. I'm looking at paragraph 2 in the circular letter, which is on the other side of that, and it says, and the last sentence in that paragraph says, employers who only pick up employee contributions for all of the employees in certain groups or clusters should specify so in their resolution. So that is what we do, isn't it?
That's a good question. For example, Stephanie, are you a member of PERS?
No, I actually am, but because I worked for the state for 10 years.
So that's something
else.
I am, but I don't receive contributions currently because I'm not in a classification that allows that. I have money sitting in CalPERS.
So the answer is, for working for the district, you are not entitled to PERS contributions.
Correct.
What about Andrea?
The answer is no.
So that leaves us with the chief and the 10 sworn officers.
Correct.
Who don't be
PERS. Or 9 sworn officers. Or members of PERS, CalPERS.
Okay.
The district does not pay any CalPERS contributions for any non-sworn employee.
Okay. And I don't know if that helps you or not.
I do.
Give you more comfort.
What do you think?
I think it's reasonable. I think it specifies that it only applies to PERS contributions made on behalf of PERS participants. Not comfortable with that.
Okay, I'll probably abstain on this issue because I don't.
You don't
I'm mean, not sure.
That's fine from that. That's perfectly okay. Director Wright.
I have no comment.
Director McLaughlin.
Well, I just want to say we've been doing it since 1982, so I think we have to pass this.
Okay. Director Stein.
Again, I agree with that. All we're doing is correcting how we do business.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Well, articulating it, bringing their records up to date.
Okay. And I'm going back to this paragraph one here, that looking it over again, and in my thinking, it makes it clear that this only applies to PERS participants, and I'm comfortable with that, despite what I would call a bad choice of words from PERS. Maybe the guys who got indicted wrote this. Anyway, I'm sorry. Public comment on this resolution? No public comment on this? Then let's call it for a vote. First, I have to call for a motion. Is there a motion to approve resolution 2010-9?
I so move.
Is there a second?
Sure.
Second?
Sure.
All those in favor or sure say yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Anybody abstaining?
Abstain.
Okay. 4-0-1 is the score. New business number 7. Director Kathy Kozel will present the board with a proposal to sign up and participate in crimereports.com for board discussion and possible action. And Kathy, why don't you tell us what this is all about and what we're going to do?
Okay, I've had a number of requests, and I kind of assume that some of you have had some requests anyway for accurate crime data other than that picked and chosen to go in the Outlook. And there is, I hope that board members and maybe members of the public have an opportunity to look at crimereports.com. We report to them, and they gather the information, and they do graphs, they do pie charts, they compare us to any other city in the country that's enrolled in this. I believe that 17 cities in Contra Costa County are enrolled in this, including and also in Alameda County, would be Oakland and San Francisco and San Francisco County. There's a number of California cities that are involved in this. It's very accurate. It reports traffic violations, vehicle burglaries, vehicle theft, vehicle recovery, robberies, sexual offenses. It also reports proactive policing, which I think is something that we would want to just go up and up and up on the charts.
Well, it depends. There becomes a point where some proactivity will tend to go into an area that we may not want to have to deal with. For instance, the District of Kensington is not a high crime target area. Therefore, as Nikki was expressing earlier about an officer's discretion, it's very important.
Right. Okay. Maybe we have a different notion about that term of proactive policing. But in any case, you do have an opportunity to report.
Correct.
And the citizens of Kensington have an opportunity to actually see in a 3-day period, a 7-day period, and a 30-day period the data that has been collected. And so it's an accountability issue for you as a police department to the citizens to report the activity that you have been involved in. And I think it's probably something that would increase the trust and confidence that the citizens of Kensington have in their police department to see this type of data reported. So it does have a very minor cost of, $50 a month. And I just think it's a good thing to do. Chief Holt, I have mentioned to you, and I think that it probably deserves more conversation in the community about reporting out crime problems. For instance, I'll give you the example. The most recent one that I am aware of was the three armed robberies in the North Berkeley Hills. And the city of Berkeley has an email tree. Their citizens can sign up, so it's just a group, and then there's a sergeant assigned to report out. They give the location, for instance, of in this case of the armed robberies, a description of the car used, a description of the suspect. And it's just a way to keep citizens apprised of what's going on and to allow them to keep themselves safe. So this is step one, I think, in reporting and accountability. And then hopefully you will find the time to send out a circular or whatever to request email addresses from anyone who wants to provide them so that they can get occasional reports from you regarding public safety issues and or crimes in Kensington.
Kathy, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do we make a daily submission of stats to this agency? I mean, how does it work?
Oh,
okay. Sorry.
Well, I talked to them briefly on the phone.
Thank you.
Actually, we don't. There'll be no one that will be uploading any information. And this was part of my concern. I don't know how the other departments are working this, but somehow they get access to the information out of our server. Now, along in that server may be some sensitive information also, but I don't know. They said they would come out, hook up their software, and then somehow they get access via the net to pull out. They said there were four areas of data that they were interested in. Mm-hmm. I'm not very technically savvy, but I haven't, on the other side, I haven't heard any of the other departments, as Director Kozel has mentioned, that are currently using this. I haven't heard any rumblings of any issues or problems or concerns that they may have. So,
the second question.
I think that most departments have been pleased with it, and it takes a little bit of the reporting load off of you.
And the second question I have was, can the community access as part of our subscription, or is it just for who gets to access it?
I've got it right here on computer. Can you see this piece of work?
Well, I went online because I couldn't read the report that was given to us, and I got it too. But
yeah.
I mean, do you need to have our password to get it, or this?
No, it can be viewed by anyone, anywhere. Someone in Richmond, Virginia, can be looking at it. Someone, you know, in LA can be looking at it. Doesn't matter where you're from. And there's a lot of possible uses for that data, other than evaluating our police department. That may not be the most pleasing uses for it. If I'm not mistaken, isn't our entire police log on the website already?
Yes. Yes.
All our reports.
Yes.
But it is not. At the end of the month,
yeah,
it will be uploaded. But this is more real time. I think they'll grab it by the end of the day, so it'll be up by the next day.
Do we really?
Probably is the only advantage.
If you don't mind, hold your press, because we want the board to have the first shoe with us. That's okay. We'll get through. I won't forget you. You're correct.
Is she done? Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
So, under the crime report's terms of use, I'm concerned about a couple of provisions. One is the provision that has a link to third party, called links to third party sites. The public engine sites may contain links or produce search results that reference links to third party websites. Public engines has no control over these link sites or the content within them. Public engines cannot and does not guarantee, represent, or warrant that the content contained in the link sites, including without limitations, other links, is accurate, legal, and or inoffensive. And it goes on and talk about, we do not warrant link sites will not contain computer viruses or other harmful code that can impact the computer or other web access device, and so forth. And then there's a disclaimer that says the information displayed on this website is susceptible to some degree of error due to the collection, entry, and geoprocessing of the data. No warranty, representation, or guarantee whatsoever is made or implied regarding the content, accuracy, timeliness, completeness, or sequence of any of the information contained in this website. And that goes on about that. Our police officers are fully accountable through the chief to the board, and the board's accountable to the community. And so we have some control over how we do things. And I'm a little bit concerned that we lose that with this kind of approach. And so I'd be cautious about moving forward on this.
Director McLaughlin.
I have some concerns. I very much want to hear what the community has to say about this. One of my concerns is we, as a policy, we have made it a strong policy on this board that we're not going to mention names. I don't see that we can protect names under the arrangements that Ricky described. I guess we do publish on the website. People have access every day, once a month, to what goes on. This is not going to do the, I agree with Kathy that the idea of a early warning system makes sense, but this is not. This will not serve as an early warning system. This is up to individuals to sign up. So I'm not at all convinced that people are going to use it. It's only $600 a year, but $600 a year is $600 a year. But I wouldn't vote against it if I hear from the community that they think that they would really use it.
on the surface, it would appear to be a good thing. What I don't know is sort of, if you peel away the layers of the onion, what's really there. So as an example, I think it's really premature to do anything until somebody talks to some other communities that have it and find out both what works and what doesn't work. So in Oakland has it, do a lot of people that live in Oakland, have they signed up for it? Or has nobody signed up for it?
You don't need to sign up for it.
Right.
No. You just have to walk down
the street. Okay, is there any way for anybody to know who takes advantage of it? Can they measure the hits on the site and where they're from?
That's the question.
Okay. and then there's also the law of unintended consequences. So, for instance, even though it doesn't take any staff time because they go right into your computer, are there all kinds of follow-up phone calls where people see something and then call the department and want to talk about it? Mm-hmm. And that might be a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying, I think it would be good to talk to some other communities that have it in place and find out both what works and what doesn't work. I don't think the $50 a month is an issue. So at the most basic level, I don't think that's the issue. If people are going to take advantage of it and if it will help, then it's a pretty obvious and easy decision to make. Okay, the question is, what's the experience in other locations?
I actually have a question. Where are the cities used this?
Well, I mentioned it. I think 17 of the cities in Contra Costa County, Oakland, San Francisco, Alameda, Albany. You should take a look. You just go on the site and type in, put the state, and then it gives you a list of all the cities in California that are signed up for it. And then you just select which city you want to look at for the last 3 day, 7 day, or 30 day period.
El Cerrito, one of the ones.
El Cerrito, yeah. I forget which Contra Costa city is not, but there's just one.
Richmond clearly is. That's what Richmond now.
Richmond.
El Cerrito.
Pat raised a good question, Chief, about names being on there. I do not believe there are any names.
Yes, there are, and I can read a couple of very detailed police reports from this that are very unpleasantly detailed.
It,
There are names.
They're on my screen right now.
Are they
the sexual predator type or they?
No, the sexual predator.
Hold your thought, because I'd like to hear that. But one of the printouts we do have, there is sexual.
That's not what I was talking about.
But then I just want to mention, too, that the disclaimer that Bill mentioned regarding links is one that is standard on any website that links to another website. You have to say that you don't have any responsibility for what appears on another website. So that, that really isn't anything.
We get those pop-ups? let's have some public comment. And Nikki, you're first.
So since you don't have wireless up here, which maybe one of you will around me, I brought this up on my computer before coming up here and she kept it up. Do you have an idea of the level of detail? And it seems to depend on how much is put into police reports from any given area. But for example, in Martinez, we have a reporter wants to report her sister, Amanda Hardman, and follows with her entire birthday and year, who is always 11:55, which I had to look up, which means, I think, hi. came in tonight and stole a phone, left in her 2005 green Chevy Malibu, yada yada yada. Let's see here. Reporter has conservatorship of son, Eric Sheldon wants to report an identity theft and social security number, just what I'd want on the web. Let's see, up
does
here.
Does it list the social security number?
It does not.
Good.
That's a start, but names of, nice persons without them have actually been to trial. Who knows, maybe the other sister was.
Is that under case studies, Nikki?
No, it's right here on the slide. Just right here.
CrimeReports.com.
Yeah, CrimeReports.com. I can show you right here on the screen. Reporter advises this female subject who is wanting to be treated for abuse, but female has no marks. Victim advises is ongoing. Her boyfriend pushed her out of bed and then it seems shortened. But details that you might not want reported, especially if it's one person accusing another person of something that may not actually be true, because this is not something that's gone to trial yet. Now, when we put this stuff up on our website as our police reports, we have discretion of how it's written up on the website for the police reports. I'm not talking about the Outlook. I'm talking about the general police report, and it's just a big policy of not having names on that. But I would imagine that our entire reports do have names, and I would imagine that that's what they're going to be pulling. That's going to be more detail than a lot of people want. Now, they are using blocks as identifiers, which is pretty standard, so at least it's not that exact addresses. So if something happens on my block, it's the 0 block or 1 block of Windsor, but that's still, it's a pretty narrow area. And I think if you were a crime-minded person, I don't mean someone in the public looking to prevent crime, I mean someone to target crime, that it would be a fairly decent tool, actually, for figuring out where might be a good place to go to commit crime. I don't see any reason to make it any easier. And this is a site that is for profit. This is not a site necessarily just for the public good. This is a site that, as part of their mission of how they work, they intend to have ads to fund them. They intend to be self-supported. They started out not charging the communities for service. Now it's $50 a month. So these things change over time. Once we sign up for it, we're kind of going to be kind of locked in. Because can you imagine coming to the community and saying, well, we're just going to stop paying for this and doing this thing that you've gotten kind of used to. People will go, up in arms over it. It's one of those slippery slope things. Once you sign up for something, it's almost impossible to get rid of it, even when it becomes as, pernicious as, say, Facebook has become these days. Do we really want to have our crime statistics covered by a company that has, ethics along that level?
I'm actually more concerned about publishing names than police reports.
Indeed.
Yes.
Really,
please.
Yep. Hi, Linda Lips, 1103 Highland Boulevard. I think this is kind of amounts to a Facebook for crime. And we all have heard very much about the unintended consequences of Facebook and that people are trying to close all the gaps that have occurred because of the unintended uses, but which are very easy for hackers to get to. I don't believe that anyone outside of law enforcement should be installing any data collection systems on our system. That's number one. Number two, Director Kozol has said that the reason is partly an accountability of public information, certainly, but
It sounded as though accountability of the police force was at the bottom of it. I say the accountability of the police force is shown in the effectiveness of our police force. We have continued to enjoy an extremely low crime rate in our community. It's a gem in an area that is surrounded by very high Part 1 crimes. And the preventive efforts of the police force is certainly evidence of that accountability to the community. I don't think that we need to see them put this up on a website so we can check on whether they spent their hours in a way that we like. Thirdly, I think it could undermine preventive efforts. I think that hackers are smart and they can sit around and figure out ways to divine patterns of policing, patterns of investigation, and I don't think this is in our community's interest. We also, the fourth point, we may become targeted as a place that is up for grabs, depending on what is the minds of a criminal knows no borders. And finally, I think that this is an odd thing, but it occurred to me, public crime reporting in this manner with specific details as to the individual could even present a prosecution difficulty insofar as there might be such pretrial broadcasting of what has happened that really very fine evidence could be ruled inadmissible because it was put out there to prejudice the jury, etc. So I think this is a private company trying to make some money. I don't see them putting a system on one of our most confidential systems and using it for their own purposes. Thank you.
Anybody else like to comment? Okay. Well, I'm really concerned about publishing police reports with names and addresses and stuff like that. And I kind of tend to agree that it could be prejudicial to the prosecution of a crime. The rest of it, there's nothing wrong at all with knowing where our crime stats are. Do we actually publish on our website? How often do we publish on our website rather than police logs?
Well, it's supposed to go on there once a month.
Okay. And are we batting 1,000?
Have we batting 1,000?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I respect Director Kozol's request that we have some accountability and some transparency about crime statistics in the community, but contrary to that, I really am concerned about putting information in our police reports online when the group hasn't been prosecuted or a decision hasn't been made to charge them with a crime and what kind of inflammatory results that could have. That just rankles me. Just something smacks of a lack of due process there that just offends me. But that's my thought.
The hundreds of cities were participating in this.
That's right, except one kind of
hospital. Just because yeah. Your friends know it doesn't mean it's
well,
okay.
There's nothing wrong with cities making the determination. I'm just concerned myself about that kind of information going online, particularly when someone hasn't necessarily been charged with a crime. That is what troubles me. That's my only comment. I don't doubt that El Segundo and Swisden decided this was a good thing, nor Richmond and Swisden decided it's a good thing. I'm concerned about what I consider that to be an invasion of privacy, unless and until someone's been charged, and even if they could have been any more discussion on the board about this? Then is there a resolution to... what's the pleasure of the board? What do you want to do on this?
I move approval of the rolling in crimereports.com.
Is there a second? Okay, then the resolution fails for lack of a second. Are there other services that do this? Is it a non-profit? Does the FBI
well,
do
this? I'm suggesting that Chief Holm begin to collect email addresses of citizens who would like to be notified of specific public safety and crime threats.
And that's
second
issue.
That's
a different issue. There's nothing wrong with that, but
yeah.
I mean, that could be
part of this either.
Well, unfortunately, item 7 doesn't pass. What about the FBI? Don't they have consequences like that?
Yes, they do.
Well, we have them.
Well, we do. I mean, but the question is, are they? Kathy's comment is she wants something that someone can log on to today. to see what's happened today or in the past period of reporting. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not an unreasonable request. My concern is that it's rife with what I consider privacy concerns that I do not know about. In any case, we didn't get the resolution up. We didn't get a second, so the matter fails. Let's see where that puts us on the agenda. I think that takes us to the end of our agenda for the night. Is there a motion to adjourn?
If I may, I just wanted to reiterate again that to silence an elected board member who disagrees with you is the most egregious act that I have ever personally witnessed. I just want to understand that.
I'm not going to debate the issue. Is there a motion to adjourn? We have a motion. Nikki, is this something you expect to do?
Yes, very quick. Actually, I just wanted to address Eric Wilson's idea of having an in-house. I think it's a very good idea. Yeah. Discuss it with the Police Department in the past. And we should, can we make an item for future meetings?
You want to ask Director Kelly to put on the agenda? Sure. That's fine.
Can we do that?
Okay, second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? None. Stick around, please, because we have to sign the resolution. Thank you all for coming.